Slade Chamberlain. Coquelin. Chelsea earlier in the season for Robin van Persie, and three more here today. And Blackburn Rovers taken apart. Arsenal 6, Blackburn 1.
Good night, everyone, and welcome to episode 13 of the FPL Vibes podcast, brought to you by SoccerWarriors.net. Tonight, I'm joined in the studio, as always, by Two Cents. What vibes, Two Cents?
Everything cool, my brother. Good night to everybody.
We're rocking it solo tonight. No guests tonight. I think this is probably the first, this might be one of the first times you didn't have a guest since around the first episode, right?
Probably, yeah.
But you know, it is carnival time. Things going on, busy. So we ran it solo tonight. So was it good? How the side looking?
Side looking alright. I mean, didn't really have any movement from the last week. Staying about the same position. I mean, no, didn't really go up, didn't go down. I think I started at number 18 and I finished at number 19 for the week.
Alright. Well, I wish you could say the same, but on the downward slide, boy, I think I'm on position number 41 right now.
Well, you move up, you move down, you could move back up again.
You know, I mean, I ain't calling no names, you know, but, you know, I mean, I receive a certain BBM there on Friday night, you know, warning me that Van Persie would get injured. And, you know, seeing as it was a trusted fellow Fantasy League competitor, you know, I took that advice on board and Capo Aguero, and I think I paid the price for it, you know.
I don't believe they're trying to throw me under the bus like
I that. Ain't call no names, brother. I ain't call no names.
I still have the message on my phone, brother, that I sent you. I was like, I'm gonna pull it up for you. I said, plus I was considering Van Persie for captain, but I saw an article Wenger said he might rotate.
You know?
And your response was, serious, I will check it out when I get home. I never told you anything about not captaining Van Persie.
But you planned this seed, boy. You see, if I had seen you at Capo Aguero too, I'd be like, boy, we feel it, boy. But, you know, you didn't take your own advice.
actually, what happened, Dred, is I wake up early that Saturday morning, which I usually don't. I was making an early run, and I wake up, the deadline is like 6:30. So I was up like about 6 o'clock this Saturday morning, and I end up just reading around, and I was like, you know what, let me capture them still, Dred.
Yeah.
And that's what happened there. I mean, as I say, I don't do your research. I try to give you a little information as a brethren. don't let nobody listen.
Nah.
I try to sabotage your thing.
Nah, man, it's all kicks, to be honest. I mean, I had it on Van Persie all week. But I was kind of thinking about Aguero because I find, like, you know, it's a while now and this is a home game, and I know Man City did come out of that game hard after what happened in Everton the week before. And then when I see the article, when they said, you know, Wenger is considering resting him, I say, well, that is just the push I need to try and make that decision. I mean, you had a gamble if you want to make moves too, you know?
It was unbelievable, the end result, though. I mean, I didn't expect that at all, like.
It was like
7-1, yeah.
Three goals and two assists or something Van Persie come with.
Yeah, that was totally unexpected, and it also bring Oxlade-Chamberlain into a lot of people's minds too.
Yeah, he's a player actually. I think we had talk about in the last podcast, and he kind of crossed my mind too, you know.
Yeah, as I said on the last podcast, the commentator said he's Theo Walcott with brains, and I couldn't agree anymore with that statement.
For real. And I mean, of course, the other big game this weekend was both of our teams going up against it, and Chelsea against Manchester. And first and foremost, I want to get your opinion of that game.
Wow, where to start, boy? First to begin, before the game, I was kind of nervous because De Gea was keeping. So I was really worried about De Gea in that time. In the end, then he pulled out some brilliant saves at the end. I didn't really blame him for any of the goals too much. He still looked very shaky on some crosses, but City looked good. Chelsea looked good. Man, you start off the game with a lot of the possession, but they didn't really have the chances were even. But Man, you control the possession, but I mean, Chelsea was clinical. The first goal was a nice goal.
That was the Evans goal. The first goal was the own goal.
Yeah, when Sturridge went down the line.
Yeah, he beat the man on the line.
Yeah, Sturridge went down the line.
I hear some fans blaming Evans, but I really had nothing he could have do with at that point.
Yeah, Sturridge had a nice move. I think it was Evra he beat, right?
That yeah.
But he had a nice step over, he beat him on the line. And then the second one where Torres crossed it for Mata, wow.
Yeah, that was a goal.
But Manu was always in the game. We always had a nice little possession and thing, but we wasn't really making anything happen. Some substitutions in the ending. Chicharito coming on. Schools, they change up things a little bit.
Yeah, for me, I kind of agree with what you say. To be honest, the way the game had flowed in the first half, I actually missed the first couple Chelsea goals in the second half. But I was shocked that it was 3-0 after something like 5 minutes in the second half. But at 3-0, I thought the game was really done and dusted. Now, I had some issues with the calls,
And, penalties?
Yeah, the first one, I could live with the first one, even though I find it was a little bit soft and thing. The second one, though, for me, to give aside a second penalty on something like that was I was just kind of like, wow. And once that one went in, I know.
The second one was the Welbeck one, where you think that he ran into the guy's leg, or you think?
No, when Ivanovic just tried to pull out of it.
Yeah.
And he kind of... see him kind of pulling out of it and just went over real soft.
That's what I mean. You think he pushed himself into his leg?
No, I think he saw the contact coming. He saw where Ivanovic was coming, and I don't think the contact make him go down then.
Yeah.
He kind of tried to induce the contact or something. It didn't really have anything in it at all.
It wasn't clear cut, but at the end of the day, as a referee, I would give it. But I understand, because a lot of people was texting during the game, and most Chelsea fans was like it over and it over. The one thing one reason I didn't count Manu out was just the fact that throughout the game we always had possession, and once they had the ball they could make something happen. They just needed to get a little more clinical, start taking some chances. I always believe in Chicharito. I can't believe he's not playing as much. I think he should be, if not playing before Welbeck, at least rotating with Welbeck a little more.
Yeah.
But Sir Alex, for some reason, have Welbeck, I guess, ingrained into the team this season.
Yeah.
So once Chicharito come on, he always look like, I think he'll always bother defenders. And especially the fact John Terry wasn't in the back, Gary Cahill was making his debut, I believe. So I had some belief that we could come back. And especially Scholes came on and we always had the ball. And I think we could always penetrate that back four. That back four was solid. Another thing was Bosengwa was playing left back, so I always thought Valencia could do some damage against him.
Although, I think Bosengwa kind of did alright against Valencia over the course of the game. The other star player for me was Essien in the midfield for Chelsea. The man looked real like he gained back to what he could be. I think, honestly, if he could get back to his best form, he could really put like a Lampard on the bench. The man was real in control of the game and control of himself and stuff like that, so it was good for me to see.
Yeah, well, as a manager, he'll be one of the first names on my sheet on any team. So, he just bring a lot to the team going forward defensively. He just have a drive, you know what I'm saying? So, I love Essien a lot. That is one of maybe two or three Chelsea players who I fear. So, he definitely had a big game, and I think he should only get better as the season goes on.
Yeah, it should be, my other observation too was in terms of the substitutions on the Chelsea side, I really didn't agree with the taking off Sturridge decision, because Sturridge was the only man who was really pressing Evra at that left back and giving him trouble. And I think by taking him off, and I think he brought on a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, but this is like the fourth or fifth Chelsea game I see for the season where when they up he take off Sturridge and Mata. This is not the first time we do it, so I am accustomed to that by now. At the end of games, you always take off Sturridge and Mata to try preserve a lead, and this is not the first time we see it backfire, because I remember that happened against Wigan and somebody else as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the coach, I guess he need maybe more time. I don't know what it is, but he probably need another season.
Yeah.
You know, but he keep making the same mistakes. He's not really learning from the mistakes. So, I don't know if a more seasoned person on the staff will talk to him or anything like that, because it's not the first time. I definitely remember the Wigan game. He took off Sturridge and Mata.
Yeah.
And they both came off shaking their head, and then Wigan score. So.
Yeah. But, you know, credit to Manchester for a comeback, you know. I think for neutrals, a real good game for watch. I mean, for me as a Chelsea fan, you know, being 3-0 up, anything under a win from being at that position, 3-0 up in the second half is disappointing.
I guess I just see it too many times. I wasn't even getting excited, like, you know, like people sending a message like, boy, you're quiet. I was like, no, I hear. I mean, we had the ball, we looking good. I honestly can't say, the fact that we came back from 3-0, I mean, was exciting, but I wasn't here. I wasn't like a usual Man U game. We come back, I'll be up jumping and screaming and making noise. I was so down, calm and quiet, and that's not like any boast or anything. That's just fact. Like, it wasn't that unbelievable to me then. Like, yeah, 3 goals is a lot to come back from. It's not like they came back from 1-0 in the 94th, I understand, but I just see it so many times, and as I said at the beginning, just the fact that we had so much possession, that yeah. I wasn't too worried.
Yeah. Well, the other big week in English football, the big news in English football actually today is Fabio Capello stepping down from the role of national team manager. I mean, I don't know, I don't have too much to do with the fantasy, but all in all, big news to rock in English football. What's your thoughts about that one, and who you think as possible replacements could be looking
at? Not too sure what possible replacements, but I actually think it. They always say this, especially in like the NBA and stuff like that. You know, when it have a new coach, players might think they're getting a chance. Now I think this could be the same for actually England. I mean, players who wasn't being picked for England before, let me say a new coach coming now. They might try and step their game up to another gear to impress the new manager, because Euro 2012 is just a few months away, so it might be small, but it may somehow have a trickle-down effect to the fantasy. I mean, somebody yeah. might want to be seen who really any fringes at the England squad under Capello.
Yeah.
Might think now is my chance. If I score a few more goals, I might get called up, you know what I'm saying? There are people out there like Agbon Lahore and stuff who've been on
Defoe
the fringes.
Defoe and Bent and them fellas.
Yeah, they've been on the fringes. Well, Bent been a starter under Capello, but a couple of the other ones might think now is my chance, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I guess it all depends on who will be the new manager.
Yeah, I actually think they're saying Redknapp is a favorite, but I'm actually a big fan of Redknapp taking over that national team position now. I don't know if... I don't like the idea of him taking it before the end of the season, because I think Spurs well in the mix for this season for winning something or doing well this season. I want to see them go all the way, but I think Redknapp, first of all, being an English manager and knowing all the players and the culture and how to deal with players on that level, you know, I think he's a real good fit. I also think too, in terms of his man management skills, how he deals with them on a professional level. I think if you talk to all the players who play under him, it's something they respect him for, and he kind of, you know, how to give and take, and, you know, he's a football man. So he's the man I would like to see take over. I don't know now, but I don't know what the options will be, but we'll see how that one go.
Well, a lot of people would like him to take over. Me personally, I don't really have an opinion one way or the other, but the thing about Redknapp for me will be interesting to see is, like, he just seemed to me like he are wrong so long, he's a football lifer. I don't know how he will deal, especially let's say he takes the England job and he leaves Tottenham, how he'll deal with just the, I guess, I don't want to say the boredom, but he looks to me like he just wake up and enjoy the day-to-day of football management, you know what I'm saying?
But the thing is, which is why I don't understand about national team football now, I mean, to me he could do both, huh? I mean, national football... That's really a part-time work. I mean, outside of the international week, what are international team manager really doing? Just watching games?
All you really see is Capello when he stands looking at games. I mean, probably trying to analyze players.
And Redknapp already know all the players because he played in the league.
Redknapp just to me just seems like he will be like bored out of his mind. He looked to me like he needs to wake up in the morning and smell the grass and be training with men and, you know, have men running shuttles and things. I don't know. I can't picture him in his stands just watching games. Like, he'll probably be bored out of his mind.
For real.
But at the same time, I don't really care too much. I'm not an England fan. I never support the English national team.
Who's your national team?
Well, in world or just the Euro?
In world.
Well, Brazil always. I mean, most people from Trinidad. I think like 75% of Trinidad will support Brazil. For the Euros, I go with the Dutch.
Okay.
You know, my European team is the Dutch, but.
Yeah, I am an Italy man, so that could be Euros and.
But from young, two teams I hated from very, very young. I mean, just, you know, when I started to watch football, you get your little affiliations, which team you like, which team you don't like. Two teams I never liked from young was England and Germany, so I'll never really.
Yeah, I
love the English league a lot. I never support the national team, and I don't think I ever will.
Right. So anyway, let me move forward on to the preview for the next game week, which is game week 25. Game kind of close to the 36 mark, so man, I just had to make moves.
They had to make a move right now. It's coming down to that time, especially when it reached to like 10 more weeks left, which is pretty soon, you know?
Yeah.
Luckily this year, there's no game week at the weekend. Everybody in Trini for Carnival. That's good.
Yeah, that's our next thing. Eh? I mean, that's something in a Trini league. That's like the best time to make moves, man. Man, forget to check this side. Then here and there, and, you know, if you're on your P's and Q's, you can catch men sleeping. But men like they're dodging that bullet this year.
Yeah.
But so you're looking ahead to the game week and the games on the schedule. Who you like for captain?
I will say probably Dempsey. I mean, I like the matchup home to Stoke. He scored, I think, 4 goals in his last 3 games, so he on fire. They sold Zamora, so he'll probably be up top striking. You know what I'm saying? So, also the fact that Zamora left. I know besides Danny Murphy, Zamora used to take penalties besides Danny Murphy, so you never know now if Murphy gets substituted early in a game. Dempsey might also be any penalty duties as well.
Alright, well, speaking of the same Zamora, that's actually my pick for captain this week. QPR away to Blackburn. On paper, might not look that much of a favorable game, but QPR coming into some form since Hughes come in, have them playing some ball. Blackburn, on the other hand, have some serious defensive issues with the situation going on with Samba. They have Gail Givett, who actually suspended this week, so that's another central defender out. They look like a team in turmoil. Arsenal blew them away. And then for QPR now, you have so the other forward, Cisse, actually suspended, and Helgerson might still be injured. So I think Zamora is a real good shout for this weekend to do something.
I wonder if you just picked Zamora to throw people off of Van Persie, because he was thrown off of Van Persie last week.
So yeah, so what about a cheap pick for the week coming up?
Yeah, just deflect there, boy.
Because the man who threw me off of Van Persie talking about throwing me off of Van Persie.
Wow. I'll go for the cheap pick, Mark Davies of Bolton.
Who?
Mark Davies. I saw him in a couple of games and he looked good. He looked like a nice small little nippy player. Nice little nippy playmaker.
That's your full analysis of why you're picking this man.
Yeah. Mark Davies, baby, to the world.
Alright, my cheap pick, I'll go with this new guy, Sigurdsson from Swansea. I think he had a good week last week. Very cheap, but he actually taken free kicks and seemed to be playing attacking midfield and in the middle of a lot of what's on Swansea doing, and home to Norwich. Feel like a good look.
I agree with that.
Alright, what about clean sheets for this week?
I'll go the same team you now call Swansea. I mean, I don't know what score a lot of goals home and away, but I don't know. The fact that Swansea and the home at the beginning of the season was the fortress, and in the last couple home games they haven't done as well. And I just think like this is the time of year when if you really want to make a move, you'll get serious. So I think the coach might really just get them to buckle down. I mean, this might be the time you see Vorm start back making points.
Yeah.
So I think Swansea could make the move now.
All right. Well, I will go with Fulham for a clean sheet, home to Stoke. Stoke last game was home to Sunderland and they weren't able to score. I think in bad weather, which is normally like they love that kind of thing, you know. So away to, they're not really too good scoring away, and away to decent Fulham defense, I think Fulham could come up with something there.
Mm-hmm.
And which fixture you look at for goals this week?
Piggybacking off my cheap pick, I'll go at Bolton versus Wigan. Both teams don't really keep clean sheets, and both of them down there at the bottom of the table, so they'll be fighting their best to win this. This is what I guess they call a six-pointer, so I think this game could either be like 0-0 or 3-2 or 4-2 or something like that. It could go either way, but I think it will go the way of goals.
Alright, well I will go back to that Blackburn QPR fixture. I mean, I just talk about it. Blackburn defense in a mess, although they always score goals, and QPR coming into some form. The other big fixture for this week is Manchester Liverpool. Now, plenty storylines under this one. Suarez coming back to face after the whole racism storm and coming up against Evra away to Man U. Definitely want to watch, huh?
Yeah, I mean, with these kind of games too, you never know what could happen, man. I hope the crowd really behave as well. You know, I hate to see when the game, unless I just see the ugly side of the game, but in terms of on the field, it should be a good watch, because I mean, Gerrard is back for like what, a month now, so should have his legs back. Suarez back. I mean, Liverpool trying to make that push for the top four. They're trying to get back into that Champions League elite status, especially after Chelsea and Arsenal been dropping points. So Liverpool, I don't think they will just come to sit back and draw. And at the same time, Man United know that they had to keep pace with City, so we should see some good football. I mean, I know usually when top teams meet, people expect a dull, boring kind of game. Well, the Man United, Chelsea notwithstanding, but people usually expect these games to be like a 0-0, 1-1, really dead affairs. But I think both teams have a lot to play for, so I think it should be a definitely good game. I mean, Rooney had some penalties under his belt the other day, so he should have some confidence from that. I think Sir Alex said he want to play Chicharito a little more, so I'm definitely looking for that to bring a spark to the team. I mean, so things should be good.
Alright. So that is a definitely one to watch. What do you think about Suarez as a fantasy option coming back?
I mean, he's a good player. I mean, I think he always have goals in him. You know? I don't really know. I must see what the Liverpool schedule looking like right now. I mean, not really too great. Seems they don't have a game next game week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then they away to Man U, and then after that, they home to Arsenal. But I guess after the Man U game and the MT game week, he could be drafted into some teams, yeah?
Yeah. So that MT game week, looking ahead, is certain teams have an MT game week, or?
Yeah, seeing right now, Liverpool and Everton have no game in week 26.
Right. So that's something to watch, you know, planning size going forward.
Definitely.
You know, all them men who stack up on Baines for that double week back in game week 20 could get rid of him now, you know.
But I would assume most people get rid of Baines with the wild card in January.
Yeah.
That'd be my assumption. One more thing I want to point out, talking about Man United, not necessarily for this game week, but Rafael was back last week, and I find even though they let in 3 goals, he had some good moments, and he could be a nice little different player than the Evans and Evra and them. You know, Rafael, he's always getting a little 1-2 assists every now and then.
Yeah. True. So, I mean, unless you have anything you wanna throw out there.
Other than I was one of the last people to find out, I realized was I saw like Firebrand had lost a member of his family, so I guess just, you know, for the fellow co-host and our boy, just to let him know, we thoughts and prayers with him. I saw everybody on the board had good words and condolences to pass on to him, you know.
Yeah, definitely, you know, condolences, you know, and stay strong in this time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wasn't on the board for a few days, so I saw that late, but definitely to our brother, you know, let him know, everybody on the Soccer Warriors.net here for him.
For real.
Other than that, you know, on a lighter note, I hope you get back on the right footing after
well, Well, I decide, I make a decision not to just ignore BBMs, fantasy-related BBMs on Fridays from you, you know. I give respect because that kind of sabotage, you know, is something to respect, that level of sabotage, you know. You catch me there, you catch me there.
I'm going on in Trinidad next week for the carnival and I drink on me for that. If you're blaming me for that.
If it had games, I'd lace you with punching and let you go and fix your side after that.
The first wrong's on me in Trinidad next week. So that's everybody, if we do a show next week, you know, enjoy all the carnival and all of that, you know. Take it easy out there.
For real, everybody. So all the best from us and good night. Safe carnival.
Good night.